The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Well, you know, sometimes the best laid plans, what can you say?
As always.
Greetings, Forcecast listeners, Star Wars fans around the world. This is the Forcecast for April 27th, 2007. We are the official podcast for TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. And despite having a full show planned for you, we have decided that it'd be best if we just let wiser heads prevail.
Yes.
And surprise you all with an interview opportunity that came up really kind of at the last minute.
Yeah, it was. I didn't even know you were even working on it, and you said, "Hey,
I didn't really
know
either."
But yeah. It's truly an opportunity of a lifetime. So
it is, especially and this close to C4.
Time sensitive,
right?
So
4 weeks to go, and well, the interview we're talking about is an exclusive interview with Steve Sansweet. Of course, everybody knows Steve. He tells his title, and I've already forgotten how complicated it is.
Yes.
But he's director of content and fan relations, I believe, at Lucasfilm. And I mean, he needs no introduction. He's the godfather of Star Wars collecting, and has actually created an amazing career for himself as the guy. He is the guy. He is the liaison between crazy fans like us, and he's a crazy fan himself. I don't mean to separate him, but he is the bridge between the folks at Lucasfilm and us. And so it was an honor to have him on the show. He was extremely generous with his time, and he gives us a slew of celebration information. So this is really we're gonna throw the book out. And this is the show for this week. We'll be back next week with a more regular Forcecast that you're used to with our listener mail and our Star Wars tales and all of that. But without further ado, here is our interview with Steve Sansweet. All right, and we are so fortunate to be joined by the one, the only Steve Sansweet. Steve, I was going to say your title, but I knew I would screw it up. So could you give us the official title that you have there at Lucasfilm, other than
you're not the only one. I usually do too. it's director of content management and head of fan relations.
Wow,
the last part's easy.
right. Well,
and I work in the marketing division at Lucasfilm with a small but great group of people. We do all the marketing and publicity and documentary work in this small but important division.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
sure.
it. I thought that we would go ahead and kick this off with an email that we got from one of our listeners. And you would expect for a Star Wars podcast that our listeners would know everything there is to know about Star Wars, about Celebration. But this is from Derek. And Derek says, "Hey, guys, I just started listening to the show, and I love it. I was hoping that you could tell me what C4 is all about. I've been listening to what you've been saying about it, but I still don't know what to expect. I bought my wife and I tickets, but I cannot really figure out what to expect. From what I gather, it seems like a lot of signings and exclusive figures, and I need to bring a lot of cash. What else should I expect?" This is my first time going to a celebration, so there's nobody better to answer Derek's question than you, Steve.
I'd be happy to tackle that question. I want to tell Derek and his wife that they are in for the time of a lifetime. What Celebration really is for me and for Mary Franklin, my co-producer for Lucasfilm on Celebrations 2, 3, and now 4, is a gathering of the tribes. It's the community of Star Wars fans who have, you know, even though some of their interests are different in the specifics, they share one thing, and that's a love of Star Wars and having fun geeking out with like-minded people and even introducing their spouses to it, introducing their kids to it. It's a big party. We arrange as many different things as possible going on at any one time. Yeah, of course, there's some of the, you know, Star Wars fans love to buy stuff. They love to get personalized autographs, and that's part of the commerce of the show. But the show is huge. We'll have, at any one time, four live panels going on in the two main celebrity stages, the behind-the-scenes stage, the fan stage. I mean, one of the things that we've done more and more each celebration is to have the fans themselves come up with ideas and actually have booths and put on programming. And in the case of a couple of really crazy guys, actually teach people how to build a giant Star Wars diorama. They're going to be building and teach kids and adults how to build a giant Ewok village. They're going to have enough material to build like 200 trees. Hasbro and other people have contributed action figures. They brought up the prototype tree. I want to tell you, I didn't want to let it go. It is so cool what you can do with cardboard and crinkly paper and, you know, cut up bamboo fence and the action figures. It's amazing. And that's one small part of Celebration 4 that a couple of really committed and passionate fans are putting on for their fellow fans. And we've got entertainment. We've got really exciting entertainment. Charlie Ross, who does the one-man Star Wars trilogy, and in 1 hour, he does the original three movies all by himself. He does every role, every music cue, all the sound effects. He's four people at once. I mean, and he's not even a schizoid, you know. It's just, and you know when he's talking to himself, I mean, or Han is talking to Leia or something, you know who is who. And then another one of my favorite things is the Star Wars trilogy in 30 minutes. And this started a decade ago at the USC campus, where of course George was a graduate, and a guy named Patrick Gorman came up with this incredible script that uses mostly the original lines from the first three movies, and all the first three movies are done in 10 minutes each, and there's about 12 to 14 actors who take on all these different roles, and they are so energetic. I mean, they're flying around the room, but it's funny, and it's you know, the more you know about Star Wars, the funnier it is. But even for a general audience, it's a riot. We're kicking off the whole thing on the day early, on Wednesday, with a 17-hour marathon, the first ever, with all of the Star Wars movies shown in one theatrical setting in order of the story, episodes 1 through episode 6. Of course, there will be a couple of breaks in between, just in case you may want to get a breath of fresh air or something
like that.
You know, one of the things that I'm heavily involved with, and we're still putting the details together, is the opening ceremony, which, even though the show opens on Thursday for fan club members, and they have the opportunity to visit all of the exhibit halls and the store and the archives exhibit, the show opens to the public on Friday, and that's when the programming begins. And the opening ceremony is at 7:30 p.m. on Friday evening, and I'm the master of ceremonies for that. And that's where I last time I wore a stormtrooper helmet, a white t-shirt, white shorts, and 2-inch high clogs. I had a bit of an accident, but I'm willing to try it again. And I was determined to be goofier, and I think everyone will agree after they see the ceremony that I was. And this is where we have our parade of celebrities. So all of the people are going to be there. As our guests and as autograph celebrities will come out there. We'll have some entertainment. We'll have the announcement of the winner of the U.S. Post Office contest for selecting the stamp, stamp won. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of things going on then. Saturday night we have a very, very special program that we have yet to announce because sometimes it just takes forever to get contracts done, and we're a company that doesn't like to announce things until we get contracts done. But you know, hopefully in the next week or so, or even in the next few days, we'll be able to announce this this very special intimate entertainment that we're going to have Saturday evening that I think the fans are going to love.
I'm scratching my head right now, Steve.
Right. I don't mean to tease.
Sure.
But Mary would cut off my right hand, I think. we've got just amazing stuff lined up as far as behind-the-scenes people, many of whom we haven't announced yet, but some of the people who were there at the creation, some of the guys at ILM, some of the guys who came up with the amazing techniques for Star Wars and Empire and Jedi will be sitting there reminiscing about the old days and how it was. God, we've got... I don't even know what we've got the incredible artist room. We have nearly 50 artists who have come up with amazing prints that we've been putting up on StarWars.com, and these are people who love to talk to the fans too. So you know, you can just go in there and browse, but you know, chat up your favorite Star Wars artist. As I said, it's a huge party. The archives exhibit will be things that have never been seen before, believe it or not. Things with all the tours that we've had worldwide, we have found, the archivists have found, some really fun and mysterious items that will challenge people over, you know, from 30 years of films, and hopefully answer some arguments that people have had. Well, what color is it? So we'll have some fun exhibits like that, but literally there'll be all the, you know, the R2 builders will be there in force with more droids than ever, and so that they do that programming. There'll be an R2 contest. There'll be Stormtrooper Extreme Olympics. There'll be interaction with the Stormtroopers because there'll be a droid hunt. And if you haven't done that before, it's really fun. They give out these cards and they have a picture of a droid on it, and you wear it as part of your badge. And if a Stormtrooper comes up to you and says, "That's the droid I'm looking for," then you have to surrender your card. And the Stormtrooper or the group that gets the most at the end of that one day, you know, wins the 501st prize. But they also give out randomly Jedi mind trick cards. So even if you're spotted, you can at least get away from one Stormtrooper and keep your droid card.
That is
so
really cool.
I mean, it's just clever stuff that comes from the fans themselves, and that to me is the heart of Celebration and the fun of Celebration. It's just amazing. I'm sure I'm forgetting about 40 other things.
Well, we could probably make you talk for the next 2 hours, and you probably still couldn't cover all of it. So
okay. We just announced this amazing charity auction. All proceeds, every single penny, going to Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is one of our favorite charities, and also the 501sts. And we're going to be auctioning off tremendous amounts of items from the Lucasfilm licensing archives, original vintage items. I saw some of that stuff and said, holy cow.
Now that's unbelievable. Don't tell us that there's something there that you don't have yet, Steve.
Well, I'm not sure of that, but the condition of a lot of the items is amazing. I mean, you know, a case of radio-controlled Jawa sand crawlers, still packed four to a case, never been opened.
Oh, wow.
Some exclusive JCPenney Sonic land speeders, which were impossible to find even when they were new, in beautiful condition. I mean, you know, droids and Ewoks figures, Power of the Force figures with coins, just amazing. So we're going to have daily silent auctions, and then we're going to have the full two-hour auction on Monday. So there are lots of highlights for each day, and then there are lots of things that are, you know, going along for the entire celebration, with a special emphasis on special activities and special entry for fan club members, a game parlor in the special fan club lounge, a meet and greet in the lounge with a lot of the celebrities. We're having the what we can't call Star Wars Idol. Did that sound like idol to you? Star Wars Idol? No, I didn't say that. No, it's because I couldn't say that, and so I wouldn't. But it's you know, Star Wars celebrity, and what we're doing is we're having people are submitting things via YouTube, and we're you know, Jay LaGaia, who's our celebrity host, is sort of doing a preliminary thing, and then people are actually going to vote on the best Star Wars celebrity. Collectors, this is another thing. I mean, Gus Lopez and his gang of volunteers has put together an entire four-day track on collecting, and it's like every hour there's a different fascinating panel, and I'd like nothing better than to be there for the entire thing. Plus, they've gotten 12 volunteers have come up with the money to fund giveaway 2-inch pewter medallions that that celebrate the original 12 vintage figures. And these will be given away at random times during the collecting track and the panel. And, you know, this is a bunch of guys, I'm proud to say that they invited me to be one of them, who spent, you know, upwards of $1,500 again, to give back to fans something that they'll, you know, just for the fun of it and just for the excitement of it and just to add to the spirit of celebration.
Well, if those end up being anything I was just going to say, if those end up being like anything like the trading cards from Celebration 3, they are really an exclusive item. And to collect a whole set, I mean, you're really looking at something special to add to your collection.
Well, they are, and these are much more limited. I'm not quite sure of the final count on the cards, but because these are so much more expensive per item, they are limited to 350 of each of the coins that will be given out to people in the rooms. And, you know, part of it is, you know, oh, well, that's my favorite. Will you trade me, you know, this for that? And so, you know, it's... Wow. That's also part of the fun and part of the challenge. You have to make these choices, sort of, you know, sort of like Anakin. And hopefully you make the right choice, and, you know, if not, well, I don't know.
So,
but there really is something for everybody. We have a wonderful family room. When you bring your kids, you know, there's story time. There are artists who will teach every age level of kid how to draw some Star Wars characters and make some costumes, and everything is filled. We're taking over, you know, except for one basement hall, we're taking over the entire Los Angeles Convention Center. We outgrew Indianapolis last time, and they're doing a bunch of reconstruction anyway right now. So, you know, we wanted to bring it back to the West Coast because this is where the only previous before Celebration convention took place, the Star Wars 10th anniversary convention. And in fact, we'll have a wonderful piece of memorabilia from the 10th anniversary convention there for people to look at and try to find their names on. So if you were there in 1987, you're going to definitely want to be there this year.
I wasn't there, but I remember reading an article in Starlog magazine back in the day about it and thinking, gosh, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, my my nephew's wedding was that weekend in Philadelphia. And so I attended 2 days of the convention, took a red eye to Philly, was there for the ceremony, part of the lunch, flew back, and the one day I missed, of course, was the day that George was there. So I had to wait a couple of years to meet the man, but otherwise it was an amazing convention. You know, somebody was just talking to me and said, you know, there are only, in regards to Celebration 4, there are only two types of Star Wars fans: those who are going to be there and those who for years afterwards will wish they had been. And I think
true.
That's true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, even
right.
Celebration 1, which you know, had the 50-year rains in Denver and leaky tents and everything else, I mean, that was our mudstock. It was a seminal event for so many fans who say, oh, my God, I was out in the rain for 10 hours, and I got soaked, and there was mud all over. But, you know, Anthony Daniels came out there and worked the line in the rain, and it was just the most amazing experience. And so it's all about people. It's about people that you meet. It's about friendships that you start and coming back again to re-meet these friends from afar. We'll have people there from, you know, a dozen countries at least. It's just, you know, the 501st will be there in force. People, you know, Star Wars fans back in the day never used to wear costumes, not very many. And they always used to look sort of askance at, oh, well, those Trekkers, they, you know, they're always in costumes. Isn't that weird? Well, guess what? They got over it. Star Wars fans now love to wear costumes, and they make some of the most incredible costumes I've ever seen. So, of course, we have not one, but two separate costume contests because we discovered that there are just too many people for one costume contest. But people, you know, people will wear costumes all during the convention, a different costume a day. Well, at least I hope people, those guys should definitely change after a day. But so we'll have people walking the hall. But if you don't have a costume, you won't stand out either. So it's just a very open and very very inclusive community. You don't need a secret handshake or a password. You just need to show up and have some fun. Our online advance sale tickets for Will Call close soon. And all that means is, okay, instead of standing in the Will Call line now, you'll have to stand in the regular line. But there's plenty of space and plenty of tickets. And as I said, we're about to announce some other major activities, both hopefully in the morning and the evening, some evenings at Celebration. So there's still plenty of time. We expect lots of people to come locally and regionally, and people who, you know, didn't know until the last minute whether they could get the time, and when they see all of the activities. So you know, we're doing pretty well on the advance sales, and we expect a lot more.
That's fantastic.
And that's even without buying the exclusive action figure, which is, you know, the Ralph McQuarrie concept two-pack of R2 and 3PO, which is especially important for the history of Star Wars, since that was one of the five paintings that George first commissioned and sort of helped convince the Fox board of directors, helped them visualize what the heck George was talking about, and got them to fund the movie. So, and these, the Macquarie concept figures are doing very well for Hasbro. They're just, I mean, you can't find them in the stores. So
that's an absolute truth. We've heard a lot about that. So,
yeah, we're very happy to have this as our exclusive. And also, you know, there's a limit to the number of figures you can buy. It's, you know, if you have a four-day badge, you've got at least four little Imperial cogs, and, you know, you can buy four-day figures. But we want to keep throwing in benefits for our fans, and so I'll give you a couple of scoops that we haven't even put up yet. Although, again, I'll deny saying this. Of course,
that's right.
Oh well, Mary, you'll have to forgive me for this, but I want to give these guys some scoops.
You heard it here first, folks.
We've decided that now this is for the podcast, guys, not for print.
Right, you got it. That's right.
Yeah, okay. We've decided that for the first day, for the fan club day on that Thursday, all our fan club members from all over the world, if you want to, if you buy them all at once, you can buy five of the figures instead of just the four that you have the cogs on your badge for.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's a bonus. Another bonus we haven't yet announced is that Drew Struzan, who everybody knows because, I mean, he's, you know, one of George's favorite artists and the guy who's done, you know, started out doing the wonderful Style D poster for the original Star Wars, the Luke and Leia swinging on the rope, the so-called circus poster, and has done launch posters for all three special edition movies and all three prequels. Drew has graciously offered up himself and is going to be at the show on Thursday, again, Fan Club Day, and is going to be sitting at the Star Wars Shop booth and will be happy to sign and personalize anything Star Wars that people bring. So if they have, you know, any of Drew's posters or, you know, anything that Drew has illustrated at no charge, he will be delighted to chat with people and sign stuff. And he says he just wants to give back something to the fans. So I think that's a generous offer, and we sure quickly took him up on that. And we're trying to get find some posters for Shop to have, just in case people don't have or don't want to bring something of their own, that they'll be able to buy an authentic theatrical poster drawn by Drew and have them actually have him actually sign it and personalize it to them.
Wow, that is really exciting.
It is, and as I said, you know, every single day, you know, we get more and more activities. We're posting stories almost every day on StarWars.com. So people should really keep looking at StarWars.com for all the stuff that's going on. I'm very excited about this show, and I think people who go to it will be too.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, we've actually been dealing out tips to help people get prepared for Celebration 4.
Okay, would you give me some?
Well, we were hoping that you would actually give us some. We've been giving them out for, gosh, it seems like probably about 25
weeks. Well, I want to hear what kind of tips you've been giving.
Well, just things on stuff to bring, like wearing comfortable shoes and making sure that you have little snacks in case you get stuck in line, and making sure you have your camera and all your badges and all your confirmations for your hotel and those types of things, and just kind of all over the map.
The snacks and the comfortable shoes are wonderful ideas because the LA Center is huge, and there's a West Hall and an East Hall, and I think that's West and North, whatever. So I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover, and the halls are really spacious. Oh yeah, fair. We're, you know, the U.S. Post Office, the new Star Wars stamps, it'll be first day of issue at Celebration, and the one place to get your canceled envelopes, which will be a true collectible. Mm. So there's all sorts of other stuff there. But let's see. Roller skate? No, they don't.
Rocket pack might be a good one if you can get that.
I'm sorry?
Rocket pack might be a good one.
Rocket pack, yeah. I'm sure the convention center would love that. Comfortable shoes. Change of clothing for each day, please.
It seems so simple, but you have to remind people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely carry, you know, a jug or, I mean, a bottle of water all the time with me. Hmm. I mean, the temperature in L.A. at the end of May, I mean, it can be pleasant, or it can be really warm. So be prepared for that, especially if you're coming from. I mean, look at the weather forecast before you leave, so you'll get some good idea of what the temperature is like. Unlike CE3, we don't expect snow. Of course, we didn't expect it for C3 either. That was a little bizarre. But of course, the show is a month later than most of the celebrations have been. And that was to take advantage of the actual 30th anniversary on Friday. The water and the snack is a good idea, although hopefully where the line situation, especially in the store, is going to be much, much better, because the store is going to be open 24 hours a day, and lots of people have taken advantage of the quick pass system to, you know, line up a two-hour slot in which they will go to the head of the line to shop in the Celebration store. And it's a bold experiment.
Well, my hats,
so we'll see.
Our hats are off to you guys, because I think it's so nice to see that you've taken some of the suggestions and you know, and some of the complaints too, from fans,
right,
to heart, and say, you know, let's make this a more pleasant experience.
Absolutely. And Gen Con is totally committed to that. They've really beefed up their operations staff and the amount of product and the type of product that they're selling in the C4 store, because I know people are, you know, the big, there will still be big lines there on Thursday when it opens. I mean, let's be frank. But there's plenty of merchandise, and so, you know, people shouldn't panic that they're going to be sold out of things because they only ordered 100, which has happened in past celebrations. So it's a much different situation. There will be shuttle buses from all of the major downtown hotels to the convention center. It's not a bad walk. I mean, it's about 6 or 7 blocks. Certainly the LA authorities know we're going to be there. They know the store is open 24 hours a day, and we will have the shuttles running 24 hours a day too. We want to make sure that, you know, somebody's shopping in the middle of the night, that they go back and forth on the shuttle.
Right.
The schedule won't be there won't be as many buses during the night, but at least like every 20 minutes we'll have a shuttle going back to all of our convention hotels. So, I mean, we've really tried to think this through and think through everybody's comfort and safety and the fun factor. We're now down to a month of nitty-gritty details, more announcements, final signings, signing up of people, and some really, really great stuff that we haven't yet announced, because, you know, we're just at the point of, you know, confirming some things. So no matter how far out you start the planning for one of these things, I've discovered, and I always get frustrated, and I always forget the pain from the last one. But so much of it happens at the last minute, and there's no way to deal with that really very much in advance, because, you know, when you're talking about guests, it's their schedules, and it's difficult.
Is some of it the desire to keep some things a surprise for fans too? Does that drive?
There is some of that. At least, you know, a couple of months ago, I would say now, no, we want to get everything out there as soon as we have the ability to announce it. But then again, you know, there'll be a major announcement. When is this going on the air?
This will be going up on Friday morning.
Friday. So tomorrow morning, which is now we're taping this on Wednesday, and so Thursday we'll be announcing for the first time. This better not leak, guys.
Don't worry.
We promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
You, as Star Wars fans, I'm sure have seen Robot Chicken.
Absolutely.
And on Adult Swim. And you know, Seth Green and Matt Seinrich and the guys, you know, they love Star Wars, and they've done a couple of wonderful Star Wars parodies. Well, there'll be an announcement tomorrow that, number one, they have done a full Star Wars show. And it's not just a short, you know, 15-minute show, but it's a half-hour Star Wars show. That George has played the part of George on the show, and that they will be at Celebration 4 with a preview of some of the episode, as well as a behind the scenes look at how they do Robot Chicken and some other cool stuff from Robot Chicken. So, but it's a matter of, okay, well, when do you roll that out? And as I said, you know, we put out the news about Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy, and, you know, they're going to be there, and there's going to be a Star Wars special in the fall from Family Guy. It's just so much happening now that we're 30, and we can bring in, you know, we don't have a movie that has to be the focus of everything. We can bring in people who show how Star Wars has become part of the pop culture. We're going to have a big presence from LucasArts, and we'll have some. There'll be two game announcements, plus We'll see some really cool stuff from The Force Unleashed, which is the next-gen game that will be out next year, and a historical look at Star Wars games from LucasArts. So that's going to be great. As I said, a lot of guys from ILM, both now and in the past, who were there at the creation, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that. So, you know, there's just an amazing mixture of stuff.
Steve, we would be remiss as Star Wars fans. We have a number of folks that listen to the show that are really devoted Indiana Jones fans. And so the question that I would have is, will there be an indie presence of some sort at Celebration?
Yes, there will be an indie presence of some sort, and we'll be announcing exactly what that is in the coming weeks. It will be a small presence. Right now, our friend Mr. Spielberg really wants to keep a fairly low profile. Obviously, he starts filming in June, right now he's keeping the script under lock and key. And so I think what we'll do at Celebration is to truly celebrate the past and the future of Indiana Jones. And we've got a guy that we're bringing in who is an expert on Indy. In fact, he sort of is Indy himself in a way. and we'll have some fun with that. And yeah, we will certainly be talking about Indy 4. So that's going to be cool. And we'll be talking more about it as the summer progresses.
Okay.
But this is very much a Star Wars convention.
Right.
But we know that most of our fans are really, probably all of our fans are really looking forward to Indiana Jones 4. And, you know, coming up there will be not only movie announcements and, you know, more signings of the stars, but, you know, also at some point merchandise announcements, too. Our licensing has really put together a very, very exciting program. So I know our collector base will be interested in that.
Ooh, that is definitely good to know. Now, also, Steve, this is the peer pressure segment. This is where Pete and I have to ask a couple of questions that we know we'll get a dozen emails within the first hour of this thing going live if we don't at least ask. Okay,
certainly.
So I'm going to ask this in the most politically correct way that I can, so it's not to put you in a position. Let's say, for example, a fan out there is holding on to that last shred of hope that there might be some announcement or some clip, let's use that for lack of a better word, of a certain TV series that could be debuting next year. Would that
Battlestar
person be...
Galactica 3?
Perfect answer.
Well, I think I think that fan will be very happy, and I don't hesitate to say that we're still working on that, but that we will definitely address fans' interest in a certain animated series that is currently scheduled for 2008. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, not only did we get to ask the question, Pete, but we actually got...
got an answer.
We got an answer.
Yeah, that's more we could ask for.
You're going to be breaking all sorts of news, and I'm going to get my...
Well,
never mind.
You can just tell Mary that we were really pressuring you a lot. So
yes, I get. Mary, they sent a goon who was actually holding my arm behind my back.
Well, Steve, I got to ask you, you've been so generous with your time. One question I want to ask is... In all your travels and dealing with all kinds of fans and being on podcasts like this and putting up with websites like TheForce.net and Rebel Scum, and what do you make of all this? What do you make of this culture of Star Wars fans that we're all a part of?
Well, that's an easy question because we all are a part of it. I'm a part of it. I started as a Star Wars fan. I was a little older than you guys. You know, I was in my professional career at the Wall Street Journal and, you know, saw the movie at the back lot at Fox 3 weeks before it opened. And, you know, the rest of my life was almost preordained. Being a part of fandom is a tremendous experience. Yeah, you know what? We all, or at least the vast majority of us, have lives. We have wives, we have husbands, we have significant others, boyfriends, girlfriends, children, parents, but to have something additional, which is a bunch of friends who love to play in this huge sandbox that George came up with, is just, it's just adds so much spice to my life, and I think a lot of other people's. Of course, if Star Wars had never happened, I would probably be a whole lot wealthier than I am now, as far as my bank balance goes, but certainly not as far as true, deep friendships. And I have been so lucky because even before I joined Lucasfilm, you know, people were asking me to come to fan conventions all over the world. And, you know, I have this network of friends from, you know, Japan to Thailand to Australia and New Zealand and all over Western and what used to be Eastern Europe. And Mexico, Canada, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know, you know, that I could go to practically any country in the world and know somebody and be welcomed into their homes and share this common interest of Star Wars. And, you know, without totally geeking out, it's just, it's that, it really is that. I mean, it's hard for, you know, some cynical newspaper reporter, asks me a question like that and I answer it like that from my heart, well, yeah, but, you know, Lucasfilm makes money. Gee, like your newspaper doesn't? Well, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, maybe
days.
It doesn't anymore.
It might not.
It again, I mean, Star Wars wouldn't be what it is today without the fans. I mean, George knows that. And George has long ago come to peace with the fact that he will be known for Star Wars. I think it bugged him for a while in the early years, but it obviously doesn't bug him now. He's very comfortable and very grateful of the fans, and you know I'm comfortable and grateful with fandom or to fandom too. It's just been an amazing 30 years and really hard for me to believe it's been 30 years and so much has happened and you know the last 11 at Lucasfilm have been a real trip, and my ability still to to do Star Wars books and to collect this stuff and play in Rancho Obi-Wan when I get 1 or 2 minutes per year. it's been an amazing ride.
Well, since you brought it up, Steve, your Rancho Obi-Wan documentaries, if the folks out there listening haven't had a chance to view them, they're absolutely incredible. And I have to say, the one thing that strikes me, and this goes out to all of our listeners who say, you guys don't talk about collecting enough. What I really appreciate about those videos and your interaction with your collectibles is that I don't see you pulling out the white gloves. I really see you. And I mean, there were a few times I cringed. You had a vinyl King Jawa figure. You kind of just haphazardly just threw it down. I go, oh, no, Steve,
oh, please. I have heard that from so many people.
But I have to it shows that you really just enjoy the collection.
I do. And I enjoy sharing it, too. I mean, that's my fun, and that sometimes is the only chance I get to go in there and spend an extended time is when I'm showing people through the collection or doing the tapes. We have to find some time, and we'll be doing another bunch of episodes sometime this year. Just things are a little busy right now,
sure.
But there will be some new episodes coming up. StarWars.com is going to be relaunching in a somewhat different guise, and that's going to be exciting. And you know, there's lots of things happening with Star Wars. I mean, to the outside world, the last movie was done in 2005. As you and all your listeners well know, Star Wars, this is the first 30 years of Star Wars. It sure is not the end of Star Wars by any stretch of the imagination. When you see behind the scenes what's going on here, and, the first animation series, and movement on the on the live action series and, you know, the expanded universe and just all kinds of new and clever things that are coming out there, and more fan-driven and fan-interactive kinds of activities. You know, I think that having fans have a sense of ownership of Star Wars can only be seen as for the best, and for the best of the future of Star Wars.
Wow. Well, Steve, I couldn't have said it any better myself, and that's a great way.
Well, you probably could have if you had scripted it. But
I can't thank you enough for being here, and
it's my pleasure. I'm sorry it took so long to do this, but I appreciate your time, guys, and this was fun. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, we'd love
Absolutely.
To have you back. It's just the beginning, right?
Great. Yep.
All right.
Just the beginning.
Thanks so much, Steve. Take care. We'll
okay,
see you at C4.
Care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye.
Wow.
That's all you can say. There isn't anything else. No other adjectives necessary.
I just can't help but feel so bad for the people that aren't going.
Yeah.
You know?
The other type of fans.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones, well, and, you know, and we know that there are lots of reasons why people can't go. You know, it's a money issue. They can't get out of work or, you know, lots of reasons. So we're not bragging here,
no.
But we're going to do our best to take you with us in as many ways possible. So more on that in the weeks to come. We're going to make this C4 for everyone much as we can here at the Forcecast.
That's right. C4 around the world.
Big thanks to Steve Sansweet for taking the time to sit down with us. It was fantastic. We want to have him back, certainly, because this is just the beginning, as we both said. Also want to thank Jimmy Mack for his excellent coverage of the Chicagoland Non-Sport Expo that dropped as a microcast earlier this week. He's got some great interviews with some Star Wars artists, such as Dave Cummins, Katie Cook, Dave Dorman, Cynthia Cummins, and Katie Cook. Also some members of the R2 Builders Club. So make sure you check that out. Give us a review at iTunes. We love stacking up those reviews. There's been some new ones lately, and those are great. Also, don't forget to dig us over at dig.com. And you might notice some changes over here as far as the posts go when you see a new episode of the Forcecast. We've got a fantastic new logo for the show and a link to, by popular demand, an online web store courtesy of Cafe Press. So check it out. Make sure that you get outfitted and all kinds of Forcecast gear to show off your fandom and the fact that you're a listener to this show at C4 and everywhere you go. Pete, if they'd like to contact us, how do they do that?
Well, you should all know by now, but I'll give you a quick reminder. You can always email us at podcast@theforce.net, or you can Skype us at username Forcecast, or if you want to dial us on the phone, it's 330-8714-TFN. And always keep an eye towards those Rebel Scum forums, our official forums over at rebelscum.com. You never know what might be showing up there one way or the other.
Yeah, we do contests, all kinds of things.
Videos
surprises.
That show up. Kay and Mark are always over there giving us new content. So make sure you're always checking those out.
Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jimmy Mack. And thank you, Pete. For the Forcecast, I am Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.